Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this 24th episode of Frank's Music Free-for-All Podcast. I am Frank.
I am Vin.
Vin has joined me once again. This is the Vincast 2.0, or...
The Second Coming.
The Second Coming, or Vincast Part 2.
Part 2. This time more... 2. Part 2. This time more 2.
Right. Okay. We come to you live from Friendlies. Well, not live. You're listening to this on podcast, but... because apparently it's a rule that whenever I record with Vin, we can't be in a quiet place. Last time, if you'll remember, we were outdoors in the howling wind.
Yeah. Whenever we're in a restaurant. Lively. I always have lively podcasts.
Over dinner, we are podcasting. Vin has picked a lovely selection of tunes.
Fantastic.
Which I think you'll enjoy. Please excuse us as we munch, by the way. I think it's a pretty good list you've got lined up here. What made you pick these songs?
In particular, like this mix.
No, whatever.
Well, most of these songs I've kind of had like stuck in my head for a while. Most of them. Other ones are just favorites for a while. I just think they just blended together really well, and I like them all. All of them are all kind of like. Nothing's arbitrary. These are all really good songs of mine that I like a lot.
I would agree. These are really good songs.
I'm now eating a mozzarella stick. It's really good. Hold on.
He's now chewing. Really he's now moving his right hand from left to right.
Well, you can hear me eat.
So he's gesturing at the...
I can say what I'm doing, but...
Alright.
You're going to hear me eat, so I might as well say like how good it is. You know?
Anyway, quesadilla time. What's the first thing you've got lined up for us today?
I think we're going to kick it off with a little Weezer.
Weezer.
It was our guitar rock band.
Rock band anthem.
It was our rock band jam. The Screeching Wombats.
That's right.
Other band. What were we really? The Fearsome Weasels?
I think it was Fearsome Weasels.
Was it the Fearsome Weasels?
I think it was Fearsome Weasels. Yeah. We're not dorks, I swear.
But we're going to kick it off with Weezer's Say It Ain't So.
Good inside.
and that was Weezer with Say It Ain't So. Great song.
Really cool. Really cool.
I don't think there's anybody who doesn't know that already, but awesome. It's got that great riff at the beginning.
Uh-huh. What else are we going to do? I think we're going to hit it up next with Bell Bottom Blues by Derek and the Dominoes.
I love this group so much.
Yeah. I mean, it's a shame that they only had, like, that one hit that, you know, there's nothing, they needed, like, maybe one other song that'd be, like, you know, everyone would know about, you know.
Yeah, I know.
But they didn't have it. They just had this one song.
I mean, Layla's a great song.
I mean, who knows Layla? I mean, honestly.
A lot of people know Layla.
I'm being sarcastic. Way to go, Frank.
I knew that. That's fair.
Yeah, sure.
No, but I mean...
No.
No, but the reason I took you seriously was because they... Layla's known, but people don't know Derek and the Dominoes all that much. Like, unless they're classic rock fans to begin with. So, that's why I actually could have... I kind of took that seriously, but...
My bad.
I know it's your bad. It's always your bad. But yeah, I think they really deserve more attention than they get.
It's really great.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been listening to, like, the whole album.
Mm-hmm.
Like, cleaning the room, doing homework.
Right.
It's great stuff. I like the... I one song, like Keys to the Highway, on it.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of my little brother got a bunch of Robert Johnson tracks.
Oh, that's good stuff. Clapton loves Robert Johnson.
No, like you can hear it in that one song, Keys to the Highway. But it's really cool music. I like a lot. But anyway, here's Derek and the Dominoes with Bell Bottom Blues.
Bell bottom blues,
Eric and the Dominoes with Bell Bottom Blues. Great song. Clapton's amazing.
Yeah, no.
I don't know what else to say. I mean, all right, what do you got next for us, buddy?
Oh, I don't know.
I just call you buddy. Yeesh.
Buddy.
Ooh, I should be shot.
Well, regardless. We're going to do a song by The Velvets. The Velvet Underground.
Yep.
Sweet Jane. I think it's off of their second album. Definitely not their first. Definitely not Nico. What do you think of... Have you listened to anything about the Velvet Underground before?
Or not very much.
Not very much?
To be totally honest.
A lot of people like Nico's voice, and a lot of people like absolutely hate her.
I'm just so-so.
Don't
love it, don't hate it.
You'll love it, don't hate it. It's okay. But this song is without Nico, so...
Yep.
It's just Lou Reed and his band with Sweet Jane by the Velvet Underground.
Standing on the corner, suitcase in my hand, jacket's in his corset, Jane is in her vest, and me, I'm in a rock and roll band. Riding a Stutz back at Jim, you know, those were different times. All the poets, they studied rules of verse, and those ladies, they rolled their eyes. The Jack, he is a banker, and Jane, she is a clerk, and both of them save their monies, and when they come home from work, sitting down by the fire, the radio does play the classical music they jam. The march of the wooden soldiers, all you protesters, you can hear Jack say, get ready. Sweet Jane, come on baby. Sweet Jane, oh, Sweet Jane. Some people, they like to go out dancing, and other people say, just watch me now. And there's even some evil mothers. Well, they're gonna tell you that everything is just dirt. You know that women never really faint, and that villains always blink their eyes. Ooh. And that, you know, children are the only ones who blush, and that life is just to die.
Velvet Underground and Sweet Jane.
That's
The Velvet Underground with Sweet Chain. Good stuff. Very good song. It's a little out there, I would say. I mean, for people who are straight up pop fans, that's definitely not going to be...
Surprisingly, that's probably one of the more like radio-friendly songs.
Yeah, that's the thing, though.
Yeah.
It is... I mean, they, as a group, they're a little out there.
Yeah, they're very anti-pop.
That's... Yeah, definitely, definitely.
But great stuff. I mean...
Good stuff, yep.
I highly recommend and highly suggest anyone to go listen to them.
Yeah.
Like, right now. Like, pause this.
No, don't pause this.
Pause it.
No.
Don't listen to that guy.
Advin.
Listen.
It's my show, listen.
It's my show now. My show. I'm now holding the microphone, so it's my show. I'm sorry.
He has now cowardly placed his back in its place. And is humbly staring down at his sour cream covered quesadilla whilst sipping his Diet Coke.
I feel like I leave me alone.
And now that we've broken his spirit, what do you have next? Underling.
All right, we're gonna hit up with some Radiohead.
Radiohead
with Karma Police off of Okay Computer.
Yeah.
So hit it, Frank.
That was really lame.
That was very lame.
I'm just gonna play it now.
Go on.
And that was Karma Police by Radiohead. As Vin so astutely pointed out from their album OK Computer. That's a pretty good song. I like that. Yeah, I definitely like that computer. I like that song. I mean, I actually didn't know this song before.
Oh, really?
I'm not really a big Radiohead fan, as you know. But,
neither am I. Yeah, I like it. It's just one of my favorite. I like it a lot, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good song. I would definitely agree.
Well, did you hear that with their... learned about that new album they released.
The one they released last year online?
In Rainbows, apparently.
In Rainbows, yeah.
It made a lot of money.
Yeah, I know. I heard that.
That whole method of pay whatever you want.
Pay your own price, yeah.
Most people didn't pay at all. They didn't release the numbers of how many, mm-hmm. of course. But...
The lowest you could pay, I think, was a penny.
No, it was zero. I pay nothing.
Oh, you got it for zero?
I got it for zero.
Okay.
For 0 pounds.
0 pounds.
Which, surprisingly enough, converts exactly to...
$0?
Actually, 3 cents. but I got that.
That's cool.
And but apparently, the people who did give money,
yeah,
either they didn't know how much it would convert into pounds or whatever. But
right.
I'll give $10, which is 40 pounds.
Right, right, right.
Oh no.
Well, 10 pounds is 40 bucks. Yeah,
that'd make more sense the other way around.
Yeah, yeah.
So
we got it. It's right. So. Yeah, but I think a lot of people just were like, well, I really like Radiohead, so I'm going to support them. I'm going to give them $300.
Yeah, a lot of people are cool like that. Yeah. And I think, I don't know.
I think it's really going to pave the way for a lot of other bands to try the same thing.
I think so, too. I think...
The thing that worked for them was that they were part of the system.
Yeah.
And they kind of broke away.
Well,
so
like...
They were already known.
Right.
I don't know that an indie band starting up can just do that.
No, no one can do that. Not at that level. But
no.
a lot of people from the higher-ups are doing that because...
Yeah. Because they're already established, so they can afford it.
I think Madonna even...
Oh, did she? Or will she?
Something like that.
Okay.
But a lot of people make most of their money on...
Well, that's for sure.
People merchandise and tours. So,
yeah.
Whatever they do with their record deals doesn't affect them that much. But yeah, I thought it was really interesting.
Think about it. I mean, they probably get a bigger cut of them. Another thing is that they're not signed to a record label anymore, I don't think, Radiohead.
No. No, they released... the last album was the last thing they had to do, and then...
Right, which means that they don't have to...
Do anything they don't want to do.
Well, right, and also, so they're creatively freer,
yep.
But also the money goes to them and their agent or whatever, instead of the record label. So they get a bigger cut of whatever money they make. Even if they make less, let's say, which I think they probably made more revenue, but even if they made less revenue,
it's all
they
them.
Would get to... Yeah, it's more for them.
I always think it's so funny that all of this, they started because of that one college schmo who came up with Napster.
Yeah, right?
Well, let's hold on, let's hear it for that schmo in college. Let's go.
Hey, I was a big Napster user back in the day.
Yeah.
I was really big on Napster. I downloaded everything from Napster. Loved it. Was really sad to see it go. But then, I found other nefarious ways of getting my music. Don't download music illegally. Buy it, please.
Buy it, yeah. We support, clearly,
yes,
buying music legally.
I've bought music on iTunes, occasionally.
Every now and then.
Also, though, do you know about this? Or did I show you this? Napster, what they're doing now? I mean, you can buy it from...
Yeah, now
they've become like iTunes.
Yeah.
But they have a whole section of the site, free.napster.com.
Really?
Where you can listen
for free. They always have that. You can listen to it and download to your computer, but you can't take it off.
No, you can...
Yeah.
Not for free. You can...
Yeah, for free. That's right.
No, you can't download it for free.
No, you can't take it off your computer.
No,
like,
I've used it. You can just listen to it streaming off the website. Streaming.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's it.
But in decent quality.
You know what's great? And I'm promoting this to everyone out there right now. I'm getting the word out. SadSteve.com.
I've heard of that.
SadSteve.com. It's the best thing ever.
What is it?
It's for all those people who are worried about the legality of all this. It's legal in the sense that it is yet to be proven illegal.
Right. Yes.
And, I go around, I search blogs and...
Right, for links to...
I find a lot. I downloaded a whole George Harrison bootleg CD.
Oh wow!
I've downloaded a Grey album.
Oh yeah.
I got it all up for that.
How is it, by the way?
You wouldn't like it. But
I wouldn't expect you.
Oh,
why don't you explain what the Grey album is to anybody who's...
Oh, right, I'm sorry. Well, for those of you who have no idea what I'm talking about, there's this... Now he's really popular. There's this radio producer. this music producer, DJ Danger Mouse, or Danger Mouse. He's really big now. He just produced Beck's new album, which is great.
Mm-hmm. Really?
I really, Modern Guilt. I really recommend that. A bunch of other things. But before he became really big, one of his first like forays into music was taking Jay-Z's Black album and the Beatles' White album and mashing the two together. So, like the best one on it was Jay-Z's 99 Problems, but a lady ain't one. With with the Beatles' Helter Skelter.
Mm.
And it's really cool. So he did like stuff like that. You know, it's Jay-Z rapping, but the background music is a like Beatles song. It's kind of all mashed up together. Really great. I like it. But he does it in a way that you can tell that the guy's a fan of both Jay-Z and the Beatles.
Which is kind of a rarity, to be a fan of both.
Yeah, I know. I think it's the only Jay-Z album I'll ever like admit to liking.
Wow.
In the sense that it has to take it being illegally mixed with a bunch of Beatles songs for me to get to that point. But I don't think I like Jay-Z's music, though. It's weird, because you listen, like, oh, you know, it reminds you of, like, the Beatles song that you like, listen to it. Like, oh, that's cool how they took Helter Skelter and did it like this. I wish I was, like, the Helter Skelter right now.
I wish I was listening to regular Helter Skelter right now. It's a good Helter Skelter.
But it's cool. So, Sad Steve, check it out. Tell your friends I sent you. Seriously, tell them. Maybe you'll get candy or something.
Okay, they told him now.
Okay. Want to do the next one?
Sure.
Let's do the next one.
What do we got?
The Shins.
Oh, yeah.
The Shins and Australia. So
this, I think, I'm going to say was my favorite song out of the ones you picked, other than one other that I knew already. This one is my favorite on your list.
Really? Isn't it great? But I love
great
the
song.
Shins.
Great song.
I love The Shins. They have that power pop thing down so well.
Yeah, I do like power pop.
Nothing wrong with that. I mean,
yeah,
like,
I like that. But the Killers have that going for them.
They did.
They're not quite like this.
No. All right. The next song is Australia by The Shins.
Save us.
That was Australia by The Shins. Like I said, I think this is the best song, with the exception of one other. I think this is the best song you've picked.
Really?
Yeah, very good choice.
I like it a lot. I listened a bunch of times last year. It's really great, like, you know, bright, happy, warm day song type of deal.
Yep.
Came up a pretty good album, sir. Really, like, mentioning that anyway.
I'm gonna have to look into The Shins.
I'll give you some. I have a CD, their second CD in my house. I'll let you borrow that. But download like the New Slang.
Okay.
The New Slang or New Slang by them. That's like their seminal hits. Garden State. Talk about Garden State all the time. I don't know if you've seen that movie.
That's a movie I have to see, actually.
Not bad.
That's one of those movies that people talk about. That's one with Zach Braff and Natalie Portman, right?
Yeah. So I think we're going to hit up a song that's like amazing.
Yeah.
It's called The Promised Land by Bruce Springsteen.
That's a good song.
It's really good.
Yep.
I think you have your Beatles thing. You have to do a Beatles song, like payment to get on your show. And I feel as your payment to have me on your show
is a Springsteen.
You have to listen to one of my Springsteen
songs. I think
songs.
That's fair.
I think that's very fair. And we're going to hit it up with The Promised Land by Bruce Springsteen.
Drive!
And that was The Boss, Bruce Springsteen, with Promised Land. I knew that song already, so I was...
Yeah?
And I like it. Actually, I mean, I knew it as a Springsteen song, but I hear it very often on some radio show my parents listen to. I can't remember which right now.
Really?
But, like, every week, yeah. It's a... Something you listen to once a week. I guess one of the shows that was only on, like, on Saturday or whatever. On talk radio. Like, on talk radio. But they use it as their theme song. I forget which song. But, yeah, that's a good song. I'm very accustomed to hearing it. It's very Bruce.
Oh,
very,
yeah.
Very Bruce.
Classic.
Yeah, classic Bruce.
Classic Bruce. I was thinking of getting... Because last time I was on a show, I did Born to Run, which, like, boring. Like, oh...
Well, I wouldn't call it boring, but it's like...
It's not boring, by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, but I know what you mean, because Born to Run for you is like yesterday for me.
Yes, today.
Right. Yeah, it's the song that... Yes. You love the song, but as a fan, you want to hear more Rare stuff.
Yeah.
You've heard it too many times.
I've seen Bruce Trey's times.
Nice.
Last time he played 4 hours. Nearly 4 hours long. Just him. Straight.
See, now the thing with this show is the first time you told me 4 hours, then it was two hours and 45 minutes, then it was 5 hours. Now we've settled on four again?
Well...
What time did the show start?
This last show I've seen.
Yeah, this show we're talking about.
But it's nearly four. 3 and a half.
What time did it start?
I don't remember. Maybe like... I don't remember. It was 3 and a half. I swear to you. I swear to you, it was 3.5 hours long.
I believe you believe it was 3.5, but I also know you can't count.
I can still count. 1, 5, 10, 11, 12, blue. Green, Nebraska, 35.
Pete will appreciate that one. hey, Pete.
How you doing, Pete?
Now I have to make him listen. Listen, I'm on a podcast.
Now, like, half of Nebraska will be listening.
Yeah, all five of them. I'm sorry, Pete.
I'm out.
Is this like one of the standards that he plays every show?
That's your Bruce standard.
Mm-hmm.
It's really great. I love it a lot. Definitely one of my favorite of his. Is it my most favorite of his? Now I'm thinking about it.
Can you pick a favorite?
I can't. It's hard. It's like...
I can't pick a Beatle favorite.
You think I'm... Oh, okay.
I mean, they're not, like, your absolute favorite band, so I could see you being able to.
I don't, like, since, like, this last podcast, I've been exposed to a lot of them. Like, I really, like,
Yeah.
That was my quest.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Did we do a Beatles song on the last one you...
I did. I did Old Brown Shoe.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I wanted to look so cool, so hard. I tried to find the most obscure Beatles song I could find. I did. Now I actually know the song I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Which will be coming up really soon. Actually, let's just do that next. If there's anything I could do, just call on me, and I'll send it along with love from me to you. To you. To you. To you. Alright, so the next song, since we're talking about it anyways, is... actually, my current Beatles song that's my favorite, I Should Have Known Better, from A Hard Day's Night.
And this is actually the one that, when we were talking about The Shins before, and I said that was my favorite.
I figured.
This is the other one. I mean, pretty obvious. but yeah, this is a great song. I love this so much. Had you heard it before you saw Hard Day's Night?
No.
Now, so what was your first impression of Hard Day's Night?
Oh, I liked it a lot. The movie?
Yeah, the movie.
I liked that a lot, yeah. Oh, yeah. I thought it was really funny.
It is really... It's very, very Monty Python.
Not so much as Help. Oh, it's very...
Not so much as Help.
No. But...
Not so much as Help.
But
it is, like, British humor.
Yeah.
A lot of puns.
I like it a lot.
It's directed by Dick Lester, who worked with...
Peter Sellers.
So, yeah, I Should Have Known Better.
Oh, yeah. Did we play that song yet?
No.
No, we didn't play that. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, yeah. So,
Who's it recording?
Don't end this out. This is too funny. I Should Have Known Better by the Beatles.
up, you gotta give me more. Give me more. Hey, hey, hey. Give me more. Whoa, 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 I never realized what a kiss could be. This could only happen to me. Can't you see? Can't you see? That when I tell you that I love you, oh, you're gonna say you love me too. Oh, and when I ask you to be mine,
and that was the Beatles, my favorite band, with I Should Have Known Better, yeah. With a girl like you, that I would love everything that you do, and I do, hey, 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 and I do.
Wow, it's like John Lennon is right here in front of me.
Yeah, no.
When one of the first times I watched the movie, I was watching it with my cousin.
Yeah.
Who was like as flighty as me, and during that one scene, as a dog, in
yes.
the train carriage.
Yeah.
And we're watching it, and then as soon as the song's over, she goes, "Aww, what do you mean? That dog's probably dead by now." Like,
44 years later, I'm going to say probably, yeah.
That dog's probably dead.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the song takes place. The movie is very surreal. Sometimes consciously and deliberately, and sometimes just you don't even notice it. But this is something I would say is sort of in between, because they're in a train car. The first like half of the movie takes place on a train. And they're in the train car and they're all talking, and suddenly the song starts to fade up in the background, and then they were about to play cards.
I'll deal them.
Aye, the Liverpool Shuffle.
Yes.
And then suddenly there's instruments, and they're sitting in a circle and they're playing, like facing each other, singing the song. There's fans, there's girls trying to get at them. They're kind of caged in. And, the girls are like reaching out at them and stuff. George Harrison's future wife is there. She was in.
It's ridiculous. Like, I like think like the number of songs written about her.
Oh yeah.
It's
oh, yeah.
Ridiculous.
This woman has influenced rock music.
Layla.
Like, Layla.
Layla. Something.
Something.
What is life?
Yes.
I didn't really. Something else by Clapton.
Wonderful Tonight.
Wonderful Tonight.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. She's really shaped a lot of. I mean, she was the muse for two major. Rock musicians.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, big deal. Big deal. But yeah, she was in that movie. She was an extra. And that's where they met. But they're, so the instruments appear. They're singing. The instruments go away. And they resume the card game.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like the card game is over. And it's like, but you never actually played. You dealt. And then suddenly Ringo's winning.
Yeah. Ringo.
He's wearing his lucky rings.
All mine. They would buy your happiness, my son.
But yeah, that's the deal there. And there was a dog.
And there was a dog who apparently is dead. But
I guess we don't know that for sure. It could be
moment of silence.
It could be like Walt Disney cryogenically frozen somewhere.
Which isn't true.
No, it's not true. Yeah.
I did a paper on that in my English class.
Really now?
Yes. I had the strangest English class last
I
semester.
Did a Google search.
Paper, Google search, I mean the press.
Same thing.
The same.
Awesome. Vin's looking at, you know, JSTOR, ProQuest, LexisNexis, Google.
Let's do another song.
Another song, really?
I think,
I don't know.
Wait, hold on, wait. Hey, look, there's more songs here. Wow,
what do you know?
Wow, what's that guy?
Crazy stuff.
Internet, crazy things. Okay, I think we're going to
get.
We're
not on the internet at all right now.
Soon to be.
Not, no.
No.
You didn't get those songs from, no. Not good news. Good day, sir.
Oh, I guess that's the end of the podcast.
I never said that.
Oh. Can I go on then?
You can go on.
Okay, good.
You just fail instantly at anything you do. No pressure. Really, there's no pressure because you know the outcome no matter what.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Well, with that load off my chest. Okay, so we're gonna, like the most obscure song I think on the list. Everything else has been pretty kind of.
For the most part, it's been pretty mainstream. Yeah.
Even the ones that aren't that mainstream were like are kind of popular within their own little realms. This one is by Wolf Parade.
Oh,
called,
yes.
I think it's the whole title. Dear Sons and Daughters of Hungry Ghosts.
That's it, yeah. This is probably the most...
What'd you think of it?
A little weird, but I do like weird.
Like it?
I had to listen to it a couple times to get used, like, to get used to it, to be able to know what to say about it. It starts off sounding normal, like you don't think there's gonna be anything like different about it. Then it sounds weird. Then it's like, oh, okay, now we're normal. No, it's not. And then it ends kind of normal again.
Kind of normal.
Well, no, it ends the same way again. So yeah, normal again. I like it. I guess. Yeah.
I like it too.
Like it.
Okay.
No, I guess about it.
It's kind of like a super group within like the indie rock community, like the drummer for the Arcade Fire, isn't it? Which is like a great band. Have you listened to them?
He's pointing at me, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't know how I hate to be pointed at.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
So, did we play the song yet?
No, we didn't.
Okay.
You're paying real close attention.
I mentioned the song title.
B-b-b-b-b.
Let's play the song now. Dear Sons and Daughters of Hungry Ghosts by the Wolf Parade.
I got a
And that was The Wolf Parade with Dear Sons and Daughters of Hungry Ghosts. Good stuff.
They just released the second album and like they released totally like funded by themselves.
Oh really?
Yeah. That's not that good. But that's
okay.
It.
But that's something.
But that's something. I don't know what to say about it. I mean,
I don't know. It's you either like it or you don't. You know?
I think so.
It depends on what kind of a person you are, what tastes you have.
I found it off of this one website. Both sides of the map. I'm like plugging everything tonight. Like, I swear to God, I'm not sponsored. Really, but with that said, I do think you should go drink some Diet Coke, pull up, go sit on your Lazy Boy couch or recliner, and hop on your Sony TV. And while you're doing that, go on your MacBook and look up Both Sides of the Mouth. Can I put anything else in there? Clothing. I won't go into clothing. You know.
Well, when you turn on the TV, you could have been like, you know, watch IO Cable or something.
Watch your Sony TV with like Time Warner. Where I live in Queens, so like Time Warner Cable. You know, go on your MacBook, set up Firefox. A little Google search.
Using your Apple mouse.
Mouse. Okay.
We gotta add something else.
Here's a trackpad. Levi. Maybe wearing your Levi jeans. Like,
Aeropostale t-shirt.
Aeropostale t-shirt. You know.
Vans
on. Backwards, like, American Eagle cap. And when all this, go online. Look up BothSidesOfTheMouth.com. As in your oral mouth thing. On both sides of it, BothSidesOfTheMouth.com. It's a really great website. You got a lot of free music of it, of up-and-coming artists, which, to make a long story short...
Which would be very, very nice right about now.
Now, is where I found out about these guys, that we just listened to. And a bunch of other people, which are really great. With that said, I think we're going to the ending suite, which is practically by the same band. Both songs. At least sung by the same person. The first one, it will be Hold On Tight by the Electric Light Orchestra.
Shadows falling, when you hear the cold wind calling,
And that was the Electric Light Orchestra, ELO, one of my favorite bands, with Hold On Tight.
Yes, and I have known about these people for a very long time. Yeah. Like, totally outside of the internet.
I think I've played, in fact, I've actually consciously decided not to play ELO for a little while now. I was kind of glad when you did put it in, because I've been holding off on it for a while, meaning to do it soon, put them back in soon, because I realized that I played them on a lot of episodes, and every time I praised Jeff Lynne like...
Crazy?
Like crazy, because he's amazing. Oh, you can do it twice. He's amazing. And I'm glad I got a chance to play them again, because they're seriously one of my favorite bands, because Jeff Lynne is a musical genius as far as I'm concerned. He's up there with the Beatles for me. And he's actually produced the Beatles.
Yeah.
You know, when they did the reunion, and Jeff Lynne produced the two new songs off of that, which were Free as a Bird and Real Love, that they recorded, the Beatles recorded, using tapes of John. They were songs that John wrote, and he recorded demos of them, just him and a piano. And they recorded other stuff to it. So Jeff Lynne produced those, and it just sounded amazing, because I was too young at the time to know the difference. But I'm really surprised they didn't go with George Martin, who was their producer.
Yeah.
He's still alive, and he's still producing. He was retired, but he comes out of retirement every 5 minutes to do some other project, so... Love, yeah.
What do you think about the Love album?
Although I like it for what it is. You know, I like it for what it is. I'd like to see the show. I wish they'd bring it to New York. No, they won't.
I would really want to see that.
I would. I had some relatives who went to see it, and they really raved about it.
Really?
Yeah. But anyway,
That does surprise me that they didn't have George Martin produce that.
Yeah, but I don't care. it sounds so amazing, and I think it needed... I mean, it definitely has ELO influence to it.
It sounds different.
It sounds different, but you know what? It sounds like what the Beatles would sound like today. If they had continued and never stopped recording, it doesn't sound like 1969, 1970 Beatles when they ended.
Yeah.
It sounds like a more modern... I'm going to say... Okay, not today, because it was 1995. Yeah. But it sounds like 1995 Beatles. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And George Harrison said once that... I think it was George, that if the Beatles had continued, the closest thing to what they would have sounded like was ELO.
Really?
Yeah. He says, I think ELO is probably the closest thing to what the Beatles would have sounded like had we kept developing our sound into the 70s and beyond.
Interesting.
So, and I would agree with that. I definitely would agree with that. I can see how that's an extension of the Beatles. So I think Jeff Lynne...
I agree.
Yeah, you think about it. Yeah, in that light. But,
like Mr. Blue Sky is very,
very
poppy, very.
And then of course Jeff Lynne actually influenced George a lot.
They produced one. Like, he produced a bunch of George.
He produced
albums.
A bunch of his albums. Yeah, his later albums. He produced the last two or three.
He did Cloud Nine.
Cloud Nine. He did Brainwashed.
He did Brainwashed.
Yeah. Which was the very last one coming out after George died. And of course between all that. They were together in the Traveling Wilburys, which I believe is a song by them.
I do, in fact. I have a bonus track off of their second album, the third... Hold on. It's the second album by the Traveling Wilburys, but it's entitled the third volume of the Traveling Wilburys.
The first album was called Traveling Wilburys Volume 1.
The second...
A couple years ago, they came back and they did Traveling Wilburys Volume 3.
Weird people.
Much to the confusion of many fans, yeah.
Cool band.
Awesome band.
Supergroup. I think, like,
absolute,
it's like
seminal supergroup.
Like, and, like, you're like, oh, this is like a heavy metal supergroup. Well, I know like three of the people in it. I'm like, no, this is a supergroup.
No, you know everybody in this group.
George Harrison, Tom Petty, Bob Dylan, and Jeff Lynne. And before he died, Roy Orbison was part of the cast. Didn't have a drummer.
Well, they had Jim Keltner.
Kinda, yeah.
Jim Keltner, who, I guess he would be the one who's not as famous.
Not famous enough to get a Mulberry. He's not on the cover art.
I mean, he wasn't really. He was kind of an afterthought in the project. the other band is together. I think George and Jeff came up with the idea.
I was watching
I haven't seen the documentary in a while.
It was very casual. Like they went to go. They started jamming, and then they went to go pick up a guitar.
I think it was George wanted to record with the rest of them on a single he was doing for Cloud Nine.
I don't know, he wanted to record Handle with Care as a single, as a B-side.
Yes,
for,
yes, as a B-side for whatever. Which, yeah. Imagine that as a B-side.
I know, so weird.
That's, it's definitely A-side material. Then they decided, why don't we make, I mean, this is so much fun, let's make a whole project out of this.
Yeah,
they
recorded it. But it was really funny, like, how casual it was. Like, yeah. Oh, listen, me and Jeff Lynne, and then they went to call Tom?
Sure.
We'll call Tom, and they go pick up a guitar, mm-hmm. where Bob Dylan was like, oh, Bob, do you want to come? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, let's come in, great.
Very cool, very laid back.
So they all showed up, and this is off their second album. It's a beast, it's like bonus.
Yeah, it wasn't released until recently.
Right, and it's a cover of a Del Shannon song.
That's right.
Called Runaway.
Okay, we're starting.
And that was the Traveling Wilburys with their cover of Del Shannon's Runaway.
Really cool song.
Yeah. I love how acoustic this band is.
Oh my god, have this
the
like,
prevalence of like the acoustic guitars.
Like another like one of these like bonus songs, Maxine, off of the volume. It's like an army of
adore that song.
It's like an army of acoustic
Maxine.
Guitars.
Maxine. It's all acoustic.
It's like it, you can tell it's like five guitars going at once. It's like, oh my god.
Yeah, oh man. Crazy.
So acoustic.
Because it's like, yeah, there's, okay. You got four or five. Was that one from the first?
First.
It was from the first. Wait. So I think Roy Orbison
was
on that. Yeah,
it was on that.
So you've got like five guitars.
Yeah, five.
George, Roy, Tom, Jeff, and Bob. That's five, yeah. You got five guitars there. And they recorded it, we should mention, in a house.
Yeah, no, like the kitchen.
They didn't record it in a studio at all. They recorded it in a house using like, oh, let's go to the kitchen. Wow, I get a really cool acoustic in here, really cool echo. You know, oh, living room is good for like this.
Yeah.
Going around, fooling around, and they did the whole thing in a house, just having fun. And they had a hard time working their schedule around Bob Dylan's schedule, because he wanted to be part of it, but he was busy at the time. I don't know if he was promoting his own album or recording his own album or what, but and then when they had to shoot the music videos, he couldn't, you know, they had to work that around him too. And then for at least one of them, Roy Orbison had died before they shot the music video.
And then, like, they have,
so they just had a guitar like in a chair.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Like an homage to him during his
end
vocals.
End of the line.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Man. I always found it so weird that Bob Dylan was like in this group. I never like pictured him as like having friends. Yeah, no. I meant exactly how that sounds.
Well, you don't picture him as part of another band.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Like, not leading leading a band or, you know, having backup musicians. You don't picture him as being just another guy in a band.
Yeah.
But, like, they were all just another guy in this particular...
I know, that's not, like, there's no, like, showboating, but anyway.
Yeah, they nobody was, like, the front man. They were,
except for maybe the drummer.
I would say the only person you could possibly consider a front man in any sense, not in a performing sense, but in any sense, was Jeff Flynn, because he was recording, you know, performing and producing, you know, and, like, I guess they all pretty much produced it, but I got a very strong sense from the documentary that he did most of, like, the technical side of it.
And George, too, it sounded like. George.
I think George did, too. Yeah, you're right. But
if anything, like, it was his idea, so.
But Jeff is, like, he really shaped the sound of it more than anybody else. So I think he was doing more of the hands-on stuff.
Yeah.
Vocal arrangements and stuff like that definitely sounds like Jeff Lynne. Actually sounds like... It doesn't sound... Most of it doesn't sound very much like Bob Dylan.
I haven't really.
The songs that he sings are like, okay, that's...
That's clearly a song, yeah. Like that one with the monkey guy.
Yeah. Tweeter and the Monkey Man.
There you go.
That's it. But the others all sound like either a George Harrison song, ELO Jeff Lynne song, or a Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers song, for the most part. But it's really great stuff. It's very... Anybody who likes, like, folk music or anything that kind of spins off of that, things like Tom Petty or Bob Dylan, should definitely check that out.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're an amazing band. They only have two albums, so it's not a lot of stuff to catch up on or anything like that. And
they're not making anything else. So.
They're not making anything else because two-fifths of the band is sadly dead. So definitely give it a listen.
Yeah.
All right. I believe we've reached the end of the line.
I think I'm spent.
I think you're spent.
Unless I can, like, go on and play more music and keep on going.
Thanks. No, but seriously, thanks for picking some good songs. It was fun. It's been real, as they say. I hate that phrase.
It's been...
Alex, if you're listening, which you're not, I hate when you say that.
It was all that and a bag of potato chips.
You gotta go, man. We got a show to catch. We're about to see some culture. The Tempest.
We're going to my high school's production.
Yes,
Shakespeare.
Our alma mater production of The Tempest.
Culture, I don't know how much of...
Whatevs.
So we gotta hightail it.
But yeah, we gotta go. So thanks. Thanks a lot for some good tunes, some good talk.
You're very welcome.
And just a quick reminder that you can always send an email to frankpodcast@gmail.com. So check out the website at frankpodcast.tk. The blog is frankramblings.tk. And you can download the playlist to go with the podcast at the website. And they're now being included in the feed. I realized that I can do that, and I decided to put them in there just for people to get better access to them. But please do check out the site, because I do work hard to keep it up and running, keep it looking nice.
And if you click the right buttons, you can get this podcast in hologram, too.
Right.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. So, thank you very much for listening. I'm Frank.
I'm Vin.
Bye.
TTFN. Ta-ta for now.
And in the end, the love you take is equal to the
Speaking of Buddy, I don't know why, but did you hear, like, that Scrubs got, like, they got okayed on ABC this January, the premiere?
Yeah, I know, it's been set up for a while.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I don't know how Buddy, like, talking about that.
Courtney Cox is coming as the new chief of medicine.
Wait, what happened to Dr. Kelsey?
He retired, man. Well, not retired, but he got fired or whatever. number at the end? The board voted him off because he turned 60 or whatever the age was?
Yeah.
65, I don't know.
But unfortunately, because of that, they're canceling my favorite show.
Pushing Daisies.
I heard about that.
I heard that yesterday. Yeah.
Moment of Silence, the podcast series for Pushing Daisies.
Oh, please.
I love the show.
Let's cancel Eli Stone. Which I know Steve likes.
Poor Steve.
And
sorry, Steve.
What other show? They canceled three. Lipstick Jungle.
That should have been canceled. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That should have been canceled. Like, they had, like, repeats of Pushing Daisies.
But yeah, those are canceled.
Sweet Jane. Oh yeah, the Velvets. I'm becoming like such a big fan of the Velvet Underground. Going back to Sweet Jane, just looking at the list.
Yeah.
like everyone like in college like finds that fan. Like, oh, I'm a Bob Dylan fan now. Like, I'm in college, look at me.
I know so many people who just got turned on to Bob Dylan.
I know. Well, I think the Velvet for my college fan, but it's really great. It's really interesting. Like they do like the whole like Warhol history.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's really cool about that, you know. Like, it showed like how much of like just the whole New York culture was in the 60s, which was written in the 60s, like, early 70s. Like you knew that, like, you know, oh, in this hotel, like Warhol and the Velvets are like up on the fifth, like this 50th floor doing their thing. But generally, sorry, like Warhol just like listened to them like on a happenstance. And so, like, they got all connected. But, that's completely irrelevant to this next song. So, like, have you, like, heard that new Killers, like, song?
Oh, which one?
They're like, Are We Human or Are We Dancer?
No.
Are We Dancer? Are We Competitive? No, Are We, Are We Dancer?
No, I haven't heard that. How is it?
Eh.
Is it anything like the other stuff, or is it different?
It tries to be, but not really. It tries to be like old Killers, but doesn't do well. Anyways,
They killed it?
They did kill the Killers, Frank. You're very right. Ha! Ha! Oh! Okay, we're both here. Okay, now we're not eating. Have you seen Natalie Portman's, like, boyfriend?
No.
He's like this giant, like, hairy hippie guy.
Really?
Like, he hasn't bathed in, like, days.
This is Brosnan.
Yeah, I know.
If you told me this, like, 3 or 4 years ago, I would have been shocked. Not so much.
Not so much.
Because she didn't... Is this me? Let's go off on a tangent here.
Go.
Does it just seem like she's like, changed? Like, she used to seem like this very feminine person, like, very, I don't know, sort of...
Girly?
Stereotypical girly girl. But now she's, like, bitter and like angry all the time.
I think she's
I'm not quite so feminine.
Maybe? I think I kind of get it. Oh.
Like, in the, what was the name of that short? Oh, like Hotel Chevalier?
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Like, in that, it was like, whoa, like that's, I mean, obviously that's not her, it's a character, but she.
Natalie?
Like, if you look at that.
I mean, got you free on iTunes.
Okay, I mean, like, watch. I didn't even pay for this. it's well, legal.
I mean, it's for free. I hope I'm not.
Okay, no, but seriously. Like, look, watch Star Wars, right? And then watch Hotel Chevalier. No. Better yet, watch Star Wars. Watch V for Vendetta. And then watch Hotel Chevalier. And it's very weird. Because you get this impression of.
Do you realize why? What you just said? You gave me the reason why she's so bitter. I spent that many years of my life working on this awful franchise.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
I'm gonna go shave my head and work in the...
From like 1998 to 2005, she was...
Oh my god.
97.
97.
Yeah, if you think about it, because she probably... I mean, whenever they started working on Phantom Menace, 97, 98.
Yeah.
It came out in 99, so I'm gonna say a year or two. Okay, and then Avengers of the Sith came out in 2005. And she had to do the promo stuff for that, you know, so she was still doing it after the movie came out.
I would not. I would be very
so
bitter.
For like 7 or 8 years.
There we go. Have you seen a trailer, like, speaking of Star Wars, have you seen a trailer for Fanboys?
I haven't seen the. I've heard the audio from the trailer. I want to see it so bad.
It looks. I'm about to go see Zach and Mary. I had a trailer before that. For Fanboys, it's really funny. It's based on a true story.
I know. Well, they altered it.
No, they brought it back. Like the whole cancer story.
Oh, really?
They brought it back.
Oh, okay.
There was a big fan movement, and they brought back the cancer. Like the thing is, like
because originally it was a cancer story. Okay, I'll just Fanboys. I'm putting this in the bloopers section at the end. Lately, I've been doing that with these episodes. I don't want me Shannon. I put bloopers at the end. Anyway, Fanboys is a true story of this kid who had cancer. He's like a teenager, and his friends all decided that he could not. They were huge Star Wars geeks, and their friend could not die without seeing Star Wars Episode I: Phantom Menace. So they concocted this scheme to try and break into, I think, Skywalker Ranch, mm-hmm. and try and steal a copy of the film so that their friend could see it before he died. They have made a movie out of this now, and it was made a few years ago, actually, but it was kept under wraps. They couldn't get it released because of problems with Lucasfilm and then all kinds of legal issues.
Well, Lucasfilm's behind it now.
Now they've embraced it. Kristen Bell's in it.
Who?
Kristen Bell.
Yes, she is. And William Shatner.
William Shatner's in it, right.
I thought I said Christian Bale. Like, wait.
Oh, no.
No, he's not.
Christian Bale.
Where is he?
Where's
Star
the film?
Where's Star Wars?
What,
you have the Force.
Who directed it? You know?
No idea. But Kevin Smith is in it.
Kevin Smith? Okay, I was going to say, did I hear Kevin Smith directed it? All right.
No, he didn't.
Kevin Smith's in it, though. So, yeah, I mean,
watched it?
Oh, he did.
He may have produced it because he watched it. He liked it.
Okay.
I said like he would work on it only if he had the cameo.
Maybe he's helping to distribute it.
Maybe.
But
Shatner like really like they really bumped into William Shatner, like the real kids that happened here.
Oh really?
I think so.
Oh, you're kidding? That's awesome.
Wow.
That is if that's true. That's awesome. But yeah, it promises to be very very funny. I'm looking forward to seeing that, because it was originally meant to be like an indie kind of movie,
yeah.
And now it's probably going to be in wide release in theaters everywhere, so.
Certainly. I mean, Lucasfilm let the kids use the kids.
Yeah.
The team behind the movie used all the trademark sounds and everything.
That's cool. I think that was the problem,
hanging
them up, was that they were using sounds and making references and showing, like, I think you see like the gold bikini,
Save,
you know, all that kind of stuff is copyright to Lucasfilm. So,
well, Lucasfilm, let them use all that, which is great.
That's very cool.
So this is we're doing music in this podcast.
Yeah,
right?
Well, this is like I said, this is only the end.
What did we do so far? We did that.
Last thing we did was
Australia.
Yeah, I hear that.
I love the song. I originally picked a very anti-pop, but like a bunch of like earlier Bruce Springsteen stuff. It's a little long and kind of rambling. And trust me, the original things I picked, the Velvet Underground, was not like, you know, like what is this crap? Why is he listening to this?
Right.
Which I thought too when I first listened to Velvet Underground. But no, this is great. It's just great. Like I went to an art show over the school year. Where they were handing out the brochures. Like, it's like, oh, that's like, oh, the American Dream type of thing. It was on Park Avenue, this really cool building. I gotta take you next time. It's like the Armory.
Oh.
It's awesome.
Cool.
They're like, had flyers like, that one quote, like, blow away the dreams that break your heart.
Yes.
Blow away the, like, big bowl. Oh my god, so cool. That's, it's in my dorm room right now. But,
that's cool. So, yeah. Articulating a thought. When did you first see Hard Day's Night, first of all? Like when the DVD came out?
I saw Bits and Pieces on TV, but I saw when Help came out. I really wanted to see Help. And I figured I might as well get Hard Day's Night as well on DVD.
So you hadn't seen it until like a year ago then?
No.
Oh wow, okay. So, yeah, because Help came out for Christmas last year.
Yeah, and I wanted to see
Hard Day's Night came out
a while ago. I remember, like, the...
Like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Let's see. Okay, the anniversary would have been in 64. The 40th anniversary. 64. 1964, so 2004 was the anniversary. But I remember they did it a year after. and that was a conscious decision. Instead of doing a 40th anniversary package, they didn't want to put, like, you know, 40th anniversary written on it, because they didn't want it, like, to date it. Like, for people to feel like, oh, this is old, I don't want to buy this.
Oh.
So they waited to the 41st year and then put it out, like, quietly.
So Help?
Hard Day's Night.
Hard Day's Night.
Help, they put out, I'm sorry, I was, the 42nd.
So when's the Magical Mystery Tour coming out?
I don't know.
Which is my favorite Beatles movie.
Is it really?
I love it. It's so weird. It's so weird.
You know, it's actually probably my least favorite. And I love it. I really do love it. But it's just, I haven't seen it as much. I have not seen it as much. Growing up, I couldn't.
Yeah.
I've watched it more now, being older, than I did when I was a kid. When I was a kid, I could watch Help, Hard Day's Night, and Yellow Submarine all day long.
I've never seen Yellow Submarine.
There's no Yellow Submarine?
No.
Oh, we're going to fix that.
Okay.
We're going to fix that. Andrew had not seen it until like a year or two ago, and I fixed that for him, and now he's hooked. But yeah, that was like a big part of my childhood. Yellow Submarine. Those three movies, yeah. Since I grew up on the Beatles, those three movies were like three of my favorite movies growing up. I would say as a kid, especially Yellow Submarine, it's a cartoon.
Right.
But I really did love those movies.
The next song is "I Should Have Known Better" by the Beatles.
I'll say that again without hitting the table so they can actually hear it.
They really did. Oh, okay, so that earthquake. Oh, man, that earthquake. That was crazy.
That was
okay. Speaking of Peter Sellers, yeah. Major segue. I've seen a trailer for the second Pink Panther.
So if I don't like it.
It looks a lot better than the first one, though.
I didn't even see the first one, but I didn't like the trailer for that, and I don't like the trailer for this either.
No, the first one had Beyonce and all that. No. This one...
Beyonce, seriously?
She was in the first one.
Seriously?
But did you see who's the... In the second one. She's on the
John
second
Cleese.
One. John Cleese is Chief Inspector Dreyfuss.
Yeah. Speaking of which, we've mentioned Monty, we've referenced Monty Python twice now. Did you hear Monty Python started their own YouTube channel?
No, they did.
Yeah, they did, because they got tired of people posting like sketches on their own things and like, stop posting it illegally, we're gonna post it ourselves legally. Effectively the same way you're posting it. But it's gonna be on our channel, so it's okay now. Seriously though. That's awesome.
Like, have they done any like original content yet? Like,
I don't know. I haven't even checked it out. I have to add it to my favorites.
Oh my god, they better.
I have to subscribe to them, but yeah. It's
I think
the way to tell people stop posting our stuff is by posting their stuff.
I want to make like a promise, and like when I get older, I want to be just like that.
All right.
So
we're gonna hold you. This is now being recorded. We're gonna hold you to this.
It's on the internet right now, yeah. So you know it's like set in stone.
Oh yeah.
It's practically, you know, a law.
Yep.
Don't you dare point at Eric. Not Eric Bana. Bruce Banner.
Eric Bana.
Eric Bana, Bruce Banner, practically the same person.
Whatever. Or if you watch the show, it's Dr. David Banner.
Same diff.
There you go. That's for my friends. That's for my friends at the Starkville Forums.
No, great band. I recommend you download something tonight by them.
Okay. Yeah, I will. Totally legally.
Totally legal.
100% legal.
I mean, totally disregard this whole, like,
I mean,
the whole
the RIAA is, like, my favorite organization ever.
I mean, like, I write letters to them.
Oh,
I'm writing a letter, like, right now.
I asked them to be my Valentine.
I did too!
Oh my god, that's so wrong.
Oh my god, like, I hope he says yes to me and
oh,
not you.
Oh my god.
Like,
I'll fight you.
I will stab you with this
spoon.
I will stab you
with this MP3 player.
With all of like the silver on this table, I will like impale you in your face. Facial area.
Facial impalement.
Facial
impalation.
Implosion. Did you hear about that Paul McCartney wants to release a new Beatles song?
Yes. Carnival of Light. Yes, I did hear about that.
What do you think about
him? I hope he does. And puts it out. I definitely am always willing to hear more Beatles. I thought it was cool. A couple of years ago, Paul put out this thing called the Liverpool Sound Collage. I don't believe he even put a name on it. There was no artist on the CD, just Liverpool Sound Collage. And it was literally just like a collage of different random sounds put together, music, tape loops, stuff like that. And there was one thing, it was only four tracks on the CD. Some of the tracks were, he went around Liverpool disguised, I'm not sure what kind of disguise he's wearing, in a tape recorder, and asked local Liverpoolians, what are your thoughts on the Beatles? So they wouldn't recognize him, and he just did little loops of what they were saying throughout, like these music loops and everything, and put together this collage of sounds. The last track on the CD, which I think is the fourth track, is called Free Now. And he took this loop of George Harrison from an interview talking about the song Think for Yourself, which I know is not one of your not favorites.
Think
for Yourself.
I hate the last one on Rubber Soul. Run for Your Life.
I don't know why. It's a great song.
It's a weird song. Run for your life again. He wants to kill people. I don't know. In the sand, little girl. Get you with another man. That's the end. Little girl. No, if you want to promote killing people when they're cheating, go ahead.
Anyway, he included this loop of George saying the lyric from Think for Yourself. The lyric, do what you want to do. And it's just do what you want to do, do what you want to do. Repeat it over and over again with all these different sounds and like riffs. It's cool. Anyway, so Paul's been into this like experimental stuff, using things from the Beatles for a long time. And now this, Carnival of Light, is something they recorded in 1967, sort of an experimental, instrumental thing, but never released. They recorded it then. He's not going to alter it. He owns it. And in fact, he wanted to put it out on the Beatles anthology in the 90s.
Why not? Why didn't they get
it? He wanted to, but they voted it down. I think especially George didn't want to.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why, but he didn't want to. Now Paul must put it out again. But, of course, to do it, he still needs Ringo's permission and Yoko and Olivia Harrison's permission also. I kind of doubt it'll happen. Because if George didn't want it, I doubt Olivia will say okay now.
No.
And I don't know how Yoko feels, I don't know how Ringo feels.
I can see Ringo minding too much. Go on, don't you want?
Well, you know. Peace and love.
I love the guy, but I think Liverpool is such a funny song on how simple it is.
I think what?
On how simple, like how like...
A Liverpool 8?
No, I don't know what I was going to say, and I was a Beatle.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of fun. It was really great. Love being a Beatle. Then it wasn't a Beatle anymore. Now I'm writing the song.
In the USA, when we played Shade.
We were number one. There were tons of fun. Seriously, this is the song.
Yep. I love that song.
I think it's fab. Yeah. I just think it was funny how, like, you know...
Ringo definitely...
Mad.
He writes simpler songs. But I still love them. Because...
Yeah, something about an octopus.
Something like that, yeah. We would be so happy, you and me. You know what the first song he ever wrote that got recorded was?
Was it on the White Album?
Yes.
Don't Pass Me By.
Yes.
I think I really like that song a lot.
Me too. He'd written a lot of songs before that, but believe it or not, he had this very bad habit of rewriting existing songs by accident.
You're kidding me.
No. Like, not with the lyrics, but like, he would take Mac the Knife and accidentally write, like, rewrite it. He'd be like, hey, this tune sounds really good, huh? I'm coming up with it on the fly. I'm gonna record it here. And you bring it to the guys, and then he'd play it back to them. Like, you know, he wrote his own lyrics to it. And they'd be like, oh my god, you wrote another one. Really funny. He'd be like, is this a great song? Yeah. It was even better when Bobby Darin sang it. You know? So.
Oh, well.
Funny stuff. But then he finally wrote one on his own without any help. And it was done badly by. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
No, not at all. Wait, did we play that song yet? We played the yellow song. No, wait.
Yeah, we played the yellow.
Okay, I don't even know. We said we haven't played it so much.
This is a very tangential episode of Francis the Free For All podcast.
I think it's a great episode, though.
I didn't say it was bad. It's I think we're taking away your podcast part. Not that. Anything with that?
We need to finish the trilogy, Frank. The great.
It's like the Empire Strikes Back movement.
Right, this is like the best one. Clearly.
See, but I don't think Empire Strikes Back was the best one.
Are you mad?
I know, everyone told me that.
Are you mad?
I think Jedi's the best.
Because it's a happy ending.
No, not yes. Because of the ending. Just the awesome, my favorite part is the battle.
Wait, what about?
Not the battle on Endor. The lightsaber duel. Between Luke and Vader.
Yeah, that's cool.
Because that's like the inner struggle. This is good versus evil. This is the struggle to me. It's like the biggest, it's the climax of the whole series.
I know.
Will Anakin turn?
I know, but I mean, come on.
It's my opinion.
What's a Rob?
I think...
Just Empire, to let you know...
Empire is a great
your
movie.
Your opinion is incorrect.
Empire is
clearly,
one of
clearly, Empire is the better.
Empire is one of my favorite movies of all time. I'm just saying, I think Jedi is my personal favorite. followed closely by A New Hope, and then Empire.
You would think that when George Lucas looks back on the old trilogy and realizes that movies he didn't direct were the best.
Yeah, he would. You'd think like, from that.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you know what? The only reason he didn't direct them is because he couldn't. He couldn't like be in 10 places at one time. So he decided to kind of take a back seat.
Okay. Hey, Frank.
Okay. So, well, Frank's got, I got you all to myself.
Wait. No, he's coming back.
Yeah. Hold this.
Okay, he's gone for good.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Cool.
Liking the show? I mean, a lot of people are not looking at me weird because I'm like talking through the box. But it's cool. Yeah. So, don't know what to say really, like with all the use of myself in radio land, but I could tell you a story. No, that's kind of lame. How? So this is the perfect time to tell you about my podcast, Telling Off the Vin Show. I may not actually make this, but it's so much better than Frank's podcast, which is like so lame. Frank's podcast. Who would ever listen to Frank's podcast?
Wow, you're like an hour into this thing.
Boop-a-doop-boop-boop. Looking at Frank's thing, you know, sticking on his iPod Touch. So cool. Might want to steal it, maybe. It's got a lot of Beatles. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of albums, a lot of stuff, pretty cool, like an old, hey, he's back, hey, how you doing?
Hey,
okay.
Nothing else, strange things going on here.
No, nothing.
So we were talking about Star Wars.
Not bad things at all.
No.
Right?
Sure.
Star Wars,
yeah, no, you were saying that the best ones were the ones that he didn't direct.
Yeah.
I think the reason why he wanted to direct them was he always wanted to direct all of them because it's like his baby project and he wanted to, but after he had panic attacks during New Hope because it was too much stress and too much stuff going on, he couldn't handle it all, so he had to delegate for the other two, but he wanted to always. So now when he made the new ones and like he was able to do all of them because he's George freaking Lucas, I think that's why he did them, because he wanted to all along. If he had it his way, he would have directed all six.
Well, he did a great job, I gotta tell you.
Well,
don't you dare defend them. Don't
I
you
like
dare
the prequels. I'll say it, I like the prequels.
Compared to what?
If I, like, not as much as the classic trilogy.
I mean, yes, I would rather watch the prequels than say, you know, get punched in the face or like have money stolen from me.
Find outer space.
But you know, yes, compared to those things, I would say that I enjoy watching.
They're not the worst movies ever made, though. They're actually decent movies.
Have you seen the second one? Did they write a script?
The second one's my least favorite.
Did they write the script? I don't think they wrote a script. I don't remember. Like, I don't remember what happened.
The second
one's
my least favorite, but I think the third one is the worst dialogue.
The first one was decent. I mean,
the first one was decent.
They had that awful like Jar Jar character. But I mean,
well, yeah.
I'm just like annoyed by CG animation to that degree.
I know.
It drives me insane.
I know, but I try to see through that and enjoy it.
I can't.
Well,
to me, that's why I like, you know, I think we talked about this before, but like in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, like
yes.
Burton like trained all those squirrels to do that.
Tim Burton's a different story. Because he's got like this moral, I don't know, he feels like he has this moral responsibility to never use a computer for anything.
Which I like.
His style of filmmaking is a very different style.
Right.
But he's like apples and oranges.
Hold. Lucas did fine without CG in like episode one. He actually wanted to
use a ton of CG in episode one.
No, yes, he did. But the second show, he had like pointless CG. He was like, oh, this is your... We can use CG. We can go on location and film like this really nice like palace to make it look legitimate. Oh, we can just do it in my backyard. You know, I got some green things, got some sheets going on.
Yes.
You know,
that, I will agree.
That annoys me. And to me, that like this show lacks a days of coolness.
But I don't. When I'm watching the movie, I would rather watch the movie than be like, oh my god, they didn't go to such and such a place to do this.
I think, to me, it's part of the enjoyment. I look at it like, oh no, it looks real.
Depends on how I'm watching it. If I'm watching it from, like, the standpoint of how do I rate this film, how do I rate this as a cinematographer, cinematographical achievement.
Cinematographer.
No. Cinematographical. Lality.
Cinematography?
Yeah, but as an adjective.
Making things in movies with moving pictures. How
do I rate this as an achievement, and then just sitting down and watching a movie for the sake of watching a movie is two different things. I can watch Citizen Kane and be like, this is like the greatest film ever made, and then I can sit down and watch Citizen Kane and be like, wow, that's a really good story. You know what I mean?
I see what you mean. I don't know.
Difference between being
I don't like the prequels. I think that's probably
a lot of people don't. You're definitely not alone in that.
I know. It's not as strange to think that.
However, when people say that the prequels killed their childhood, that's kind of stupid, because how does the prequels ruin the other three movies? If you don't like them, don't watch them again.
No,
just watch the first three and that's it.
Well, unfortunately, Mr. Georgi L. kind of ruined your favorite movie, the sixth one, but like sliding in.
Yeah,
like,
he did release.
Like acid drilling, it's like an acid flashback. Like, oh, this is great. Like, I can pretend that the old, like, those prequels never exist. Like, oh my god, what is that?
Yeah, there were some things I was very unhappy about. I feel the special editions, again, I don't hate them as much as other people do, but because they're all I know, actually. I never really saw them pre-special edition until recently. Just a couple of weeks ago, I downloaded and watched the entire Classic Trilogy pre-special edition, and I see where a lot of things do.
I haven't seen the first one classic editionalized.
You haven't seen what, A New Hope?
Yeah, I have. But I
in A New Hope,
they added a couple of stupid things.
Okay, Greedo, the Greedo thing.
Yeah.
Han Shoots first. Obviously.
They added a bunch.
Jabba the Hutt wasn't in it at all.
Yeah.
Most of the changes in New Hope are things you might not even notice.
Yeah, I know, like a bunch of background.
Like background, like extra characters to fill in, like more aliens walking around in the background. Explosions are bigger. The Death Star explosion is much bigger.
Yeah.
And grander.
No, I mean, I first saw that on like tape from like the 70s, from the 80s. And, like, the first time I saw Empire was when they released them in the theaters.
Oh, really?
That was the first time I saw Empire.
I've never seen them in the theater. I hope they do it again. Like,
I heard it wants to do in 3D.
I know. They experimented with this 3D technology.
Crazy.
This 3D technology that doesn't require glasses. It projects.
My jaw is
jaw literally drops. They project. It's like a rear projection thing, like IMAX, but it projects two different images directly into your eye. Like,
oh wait, hold on, time out.
Yeah.
During the election coverage, did you see CNN's hologram?
Yes.
What the hell?
Yes.
Oh my god. Why are we wasting this technology on this?
Did you see?
Why can't like these people be watching this on hologram? Let's watch Frank's hologram podcast. There's Frank right there.
I don't even believe that was real.
No, I don't think it was real.
I think that was all done in post-production. Like,
yeah.
Well, I mean, it was done live, but you know what I mean. I don't think that Wolf Blitzer was actually seeing the hologram. I don't believe that.
I don't.
No, my favorite moment, which I saw on YouTube. Oh, by the way, the image, like of the holographic person, was not actually like tinted and like faded like that. They did that to it because they were afraid that people were gonna be like wouldn't believe it was a hologram. It looked that realistic, supposedly. So they did that to it to make it so you could see this is not person isn't really in the studio.
No, I want to flip it like
the fact that they were like, 4 feet tall didn't help, but
which is kind of true.
No, but the funniest thing, I think, is when Anderson Cooper was talking to... They dragged Will I Am
into it. Yeah, I saw that.
And Anderson Cooper's like, oh, yeah, it's like Star Trek. I want to be like, beam me up. And Will I Am's like, yeah, but, yeah.
We're joined now via hologram by Will I Am, who is live in Grant Park. Let's see if we can beam him in now. Here we go. Will, thanks very much for being with us. How is this night for you?
This is great. You know, we're at the eve of a brand new day in America, and it feels good being here in Chicago. All this technology, I'm being beamed to you, like in Star Wars and stuff.
Yeah, it looks like basically like exactly like in Star Trek when they would beam people down. That's what it looks like right here.
Yeah, but yeah.
Because he wanted to say that's the wrong franchise, you idiot, but then he decided not to.
Yeah, but
forget it. I was one side.
I'll be the cool one in the situation.
All right. Well,
I can't wait. Like, you have this podcast on hologram.
I know this. All this stuff is going, by the way, in the blooper section.
Can it be a hologram? Could you make my podcast be a hologram?
Okay.
Really?
No. So, Vin, thanks for picking all these great songs.
I'm not saying anything until you promise me this will be a hologram. Promise me now it's gonna be a hologram.
I promise.
Did I say promise?
Come on, promise.
You can't promise. Promise. With an R, not an L. Promise me. Don't give me your damn promises. they go nowhere, mister. Promise me now.
So your Republic credits are not worth anything here?
No what?
Fine.
Sign me off.
I don't.